You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50pm with Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's jumping from Huntingdon and Sedgefield, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the poly track at Lingfield. That's the afternoon lineup, and more all-weather action in the evening, the usual Friday evening fare from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks, Mark. Suffering a little bit with the old man flu.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're bashing on.
Carry on regardless. But
yeah, definitely, Mark.
You sound a little bit chesty, to be fair.
Yeah, it's been hovering around for the last couple of days, and hopefully it goes as quick as it arrived.
Hopefully so. A bit of news to talk about before we get stuck into Friday's action. We'll start with the news about Chester. They've made a move to ensure that every owner of every runner will receive at least £400 at every meeting at Chester this year, which is a good move. It obviously tries to encourage people to go to Chester when they might have gone elsewhere. And it's on the back of the prize money boost at Royal Ascot as well. So there's positives in there.
Yeah, nice incentive, Mark. Obviously, their May meeting never really struggles for runners. You know, that is the big 3 days of their season. So it's not going to have any major impact on that meeting. But the other meetings they have, you know, it's going to encourage owners and trainers to travel horses.
Yeah.
You know, £400 will go a long way to covering travel costs. Obviously, the price of fuel has dropped dramatically again in the last few months. But, you know, when it was up to, what was it, 150 a litre of diesel, it was very difficult for owners to pay the expenses to travel horses any distance at all. But thankfully, the cost of fuel has dropped. And along with this £400 incentive, you know, owners will now be prepared to travel horses further than they would to have a runner at Chester. And let's be honest, it's a beautiful track to run your horse at. So yeah, it's all thumbs up in that regard. A real good move, and I'm sure there'll be a positive response. I wouldn't mind seeing the doctor's check at the end of the year. I'm sure he'll have a few runners that gets the £400. But Mr. Dr. Marwin Kukash, he likes to have his runners at Chester. So, yeah, great incentive and well done to all concerned.
Yeah, well done indeed. Talk about the Gold Cup as well, Craig. A record Irish number in the declarations at this point. Major absentee, though. More of that from over here.
Yeah, obviously they're going to concentrate on the novice route, Mark, whether that be the 2.5 novice chase or the RSA over 3 miles and plus. It's no real surprise, really, is it? I thought they may have kept their options open at this stage. Yeah. You know, we're still 2 months away, and you know, nothing wrong really with keeping your options open at this stage. But clearly, they're happy to stick to the novice route, and there was no real surprises. Obviously, people were keen to see if Vatua was going to get an entry at this stage again. Obviously, with you know him running well in the King George, but the talk being that he may head towards the Ryanair. And Paul Nicholls, you know, he has kept his options open entering Sapphire de Ruhr. I believe he's in the process of going through a breathing operation.
Right.
So, obviously, he's been held in very high regard as Sapphire de Ruhr. And, I think they're quite right to keep their options open. Now, obviously, he needs to improve by some way if he's to become a Gold Cup horse this season. But, good to see that, you know, they've kept him in. And, obviously, the main horses at the front of the market are all there, and it promises to be one of the races of the Cheltenham Festival, Mark.
It does. It's a real warm renewal of the Gold Cup, or it looks at this stage anyway. Bit of other news, Craig. The BHA have hinted that they may take stronger action against jockeys who infringe the whip rules. It's obviously been a talking point once again after the William Hill King George and so on. So what do you make of it all, Craig? Because it's a shame in respect that you see a great race like the William Hill King George, and then everyone's talking about the whip rules rather than how great a race it was. But on the same token, if jockeys are breaching the rules, something needs to be done. So,
to cover it all, Mark, I think we'd need more than a couple of minutes slot, because I think you need to go back. If you're going to review this, you need to go right back to the beginning. And that involves what impact the whip has on the horses.
Yeah.
You know, they've come up with a maximum number of allowances that jockeys are used to allow the hit the horse with, yeah, in the closing stages of a race. But, you know, do they actually know what impact that is having on the horse, whether it receives 6 or 16 slaps of the whip? You know, so I think it needs to go right back to the beginning before they start making changes. But what I would say is that, you know, they've put these rules in place now, and it seems to be broken in the bigger races where there's more prize money up for grabs.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think that is a positive to try and stop that, because you can see, obviously, horses have been unlucky when they've been beaten by a horse that, you know, has broken the rules in terms of the use of the whip.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a positive for the bigger races, but in terms of use of the whip, I think they need to go right back to the beginning and review it all from scratch.
Yeah. I've always thought, if the jockey's not beating the horse up, and we know that the whips nowadays don't hurt the horse, and the horse is responding to the whip, then fair enough. If they're hitting the horse and it's not responding anymore, then action needs to be taken.
Yeah, definitely, Mark. Definitely. You know, but we have cemented ourselves in, haven't we, with the rules.
Yeah.
We now have a number, yep, which, regardless of how that number is broken in terms of how many times that the horse has been hit, mm-hmm, carries a penalty.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's different reasons, you know, that a horse could, or a jockey could use his whip like that. And a horse could run on and respond really well for the use of the whip, and, you know, it's having no effect, it's having a positive effect, if anything. But, you know, with the law as it is, it's crazy. And like I said, if they went back to the beginning and started again, then they may see that there doesn't need to be a number there.
Mm.
You know, that I think that is the problem.
Fair enough.
Because what you've got is someone counting, sitting counting, and they're not taking anything into effect. How the horse has travelled,
yep,
you know, what type of horse it is, it's just a number. If it goes over that number, push, penalty, now comes in.
Mm. Well, let's leave that there, then. Let's get stuck into Friday's action. Craig's got four races picked out for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Friday's action. We start in the 3 o'clock at Lingfield, because this is a Class 3 condition stakes. It's over a mile and a half, five of them in the lineup here, Craig. Who do you think will come out on top?
It's a difficult one, Mark, because when you look at these five runners, there's no out-and-out front runner in the lineup. There's a lot of hold-up horses, and you've got the likes of Castillo del Diablo that really does need a strong pace to come off to be at his best, and he's not going to get that today. So he is the one runner in the field that is going to be most disadvantaged by the way this race is run. So that would definitely put me off David Simcock's runner. I'm inclined to take a chance here with a horse reappearing after a 637-day absence, an Arch Villain. You know, he's been running over further when we last seen him, starts back at a mile and a half, but he's the one horse that could well go forward in this race and get an uncontested lead. And I think it could be very tactical. If Jim Crowley, you know, gets out in front and they go a dawdle in the early stages, and he starts to wind it up off the home bend, he can find himself in a really good position here. Obviously, he's got his fitness to prove after such a lengthy absence from the track. But this could be a tactically run race, and I think he could be in the box seat to strike. So I'm going to go with Arch Villain here.
Arch Villain for Craig, then, in the 3 o'clock at Lingfield. Moving to Huntingdon next for their 3:20. This one is a Class 3 Novices Limited Handicap Chase. It's over almost 2.5 miles. Five of them in the lineup here, Craig. And we'll start with Three Faces West, who was pretty good over hurdles, won three times over the smaller obstacles, and goes chasing for the first time here.
Don't like the horse, Mark.
Don't like him?
No, I don't like him at all. I seen him at Haydock last year when he completed the hat-trick. He's on the small side. He really is. And I thought, you know, we've seen the best of him last year, if I was being honest. I thought he would struggle in handicaps from his mark of 130, and he was only third on his reappearance and his first start for Philip Hobbs back at Haydock. They switched them to fences here. I think he lacks scope for this game. He's quite an athletic type, which may help him, but I think there's two or three stronger horses with stronger form here than Three Faces West.
All right, so take it on, Three Faces West, then. Talk through your thoughts on who you think will come out on top.
Yeah, Eubank is the class act here, Mark. He's only had one start in the last couple of years, which came in a graded novice chase at Newbury. Jumped really well, That was a warm race won by Three Musketeers. He certainly wasn't disgraced, finishing fourth on that occasion. Back into handicap company here off a mark of 140. He's sure to go well. But there's a real eye-catcher here for me, and I think a horse that has been crying out for the step back up to this kind of trip, and that's Ballyboley. You know, he's shaped over fences like he wants a little bit further than 2 miles. At Ascot last time, he got involved in a battle for the lead in the early stages. Ink Master went off really quick under Richard Johnson, and Ballyboley tried to mix it with him early, and he paid the price for that. He's eventually finished fourth. Again, he wasn't disgraced the way the race was run. You know, he did a lot of running early in that contest, and I think stepping up in trip here with 10 stone 10 on his back, I'm inclined to give this horse a big chance. Now he has this extra distance to run on.
All right, Ballyboley then for Craig in the 3:20 at Huntingdon. And the final race we look at is the 4:45 at Wolverhampton. This one is a class 4 handicap over just short of 6 furlongs, 13 of them in the lineup here. Craig, who do you like in that race?
Mighty Zip for me, Mark. He's really got his act together again. I mean, going back to April of last year, he won a maiden at Wolverhampton in a really quick time, and he looked a useful sort. I backed him a couple of times after that, thinking he was a well-handicapped horse, and he just didn't go on from there. You know, he's quite an exuberant front runner. But in recent times, he was fitted with blinkers, and they seem to have done the trick on his last two starts. He won at Chelmsford over 6 furlongs, went back to that course and distance, and finished a good second off a £4 higher mark. He's gone up another £4 here to a mark of 80, but he's banging form at the moment. You know, he's still got potential to do a lot better than his current mark if you go back to his maiden win. And I think he's progressing, and I think he's certainly the one to stick with in this contest.
Mighty Zip then for Craig in the 4:45 at Wolverhampton. As usual, Craig, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
In the 3 o'clock at Lingfield, we're going to go with a horse reappearing after a long absence in Arch Villain. In the 3:20 at Huntingdon, we're going for Ballyboley. And finally, in the 4:45 at Wolverhampton, Mighty Zip.
Superb. Good work, Craig. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50 p.m. with Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Huntingdon, Sedgefield and Lingfield on Friday afternoon, and Wolverhampton and Dundalk provide the usual Friday evening fare. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.